This episode of the Golf Unfiltered podcast is brought to you by WorldwideGolfShops.com. Be sure to go out to WorldwideGolfShops.com for all of your equipment, apparel, and accessory needs. They've even got training aids. They've got all the great stuff from all the brands that you hear on our podcast every week. So once again, that is WorldwideGolfShops.com.
You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more. And now, the owner and host of the Golf Unfiltered podcast, Adam Fonseca.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered podcast. I am your host, as always, Adam from GolfUnfiltered.com. You can send me an email, adam@GolfUnfiltered.com. You can also hit us up on social at Golf Unfiltered. Hello to our friends over at thehackersparadise.com, to all of you listening to this on the THP Radio app or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere that you can find podcasts. And hello, of course, to my best friends over at Cleveland and Srixon and Zegzio. They got some good stuff coming out, folks. Can't talk about it right yet, but you're going to like it because I've seen it and I like it. Today, folks, we put a little spin on it. It's the first crossover episode that we've done, so as you may or may not know, we are part of the THP Radio Network over at thehackersparadise.com, and they have a great, great podcast in addition to this one, of course. It's called Off Course, and it's co-hosted by today's guests, Dan Edwards and Rob Miller. We go in a lot of different directions in this conversation in true off-course form, and you can certainly listen to their podcast all over the same places that you could listen to this one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere. Dan and Rob are two great guys. They're extremely well-versed in not only the golf industry, but also just making you laugh. And I hope that you find that to be true. In today's episode, I certainly laughed a whole bunch. Even though I disagreed with many of the things that were talked about, but that's what just made the conversation so great, and I hope that you feel the same way. So sit back, relax. We're going to get into it here after a short break with my buddies Dan Edwards and Rob Miller. Today's episode is also brought to you by the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company. No big hype, no big price, but definitely a big deal. Take advantage of their factory direct model where you cut out the middleman and get the best products shipped to your door direct from the company. They've got a demo program to try out their products before you buy, a trade-up program to get these clubs in your hands even quicker, and special financing where you can split your payment into four to make these clubs even more affordable. Go to benhogangolf.com to learn more. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered podcast. I am excited to be welcoming here Mr. Dan Edwards and Rob Miller. You know them as Canadan and Hip Check over at the THP forums, and they are the co-hosts of Off Course, one of the newer Hackers Paradise podcasts on the network. Rob, Dan, nice to see you. Just a pregnant pause.
I can't go first. I'm the rookie.
Oh, I wanted it so bad to be like that, and I'm so glad it was. Hello, my friends.
Dan already just threw a wrench in the whole thing, and Rob is calling himself the rookie, which I don't think that's entirely true. I mean, he's rookie to the THP, but by no means to golf.
Free agent signing is probably more.
That's a much better term.
Yeah.
So, welcome, gentlemen. We got a lot we're going to talk about. I have really no idea where this conversation is going to go because I'm a professional podcaster and take notes, but I don't actually. And normally what we do here on the GU podcast, listeners, you know we talk a lot about equipment. We talk about industry news. Today we're going to talk a lot about both of those two things, but I have a feeling we're going to go off course, so to speak. So, first and foremost, though, Rob, welcome to THP. I know that you and I have chatted a few times on the phone. We met in person in Orlando this past year for the first time. How's it feeling? Are you getting used to the place? Is Dan treating you well?
Yeah, absolutely. After 15 years, actually probably about 18 years at other forums, mainly, that it is strange to change. You know, you try to get to know people's personalities, but everybody's been great. It's nice to not just talk tour all the time. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with it, but after 15 years of talking tour, it's nice to talk about other things as well.
And Dan, you of course have been around THP for a long time. You've been on this podcast in the past a couple times, actually. One of those times, the morning after the drinkening, in Orlando. We were able to get through things. How are you holding up?
Oh, man, I missed that day. That was one of my favorite stories of any PGA show I've attended. And I'll tell you the one thing, I have attended more than one, and that's all I'm saying. That was a good one for me.
Well, I'm glad I could provide that entertainment. It did. It was not as entertaining for me, and I think you know that as well. But I got to talk first about Off Course, of course. I you know, that just came right off the tongue very nicely. Dan did not like that one at all. But where did the name come from? Was there a lot of brainstorming that went back and forth on the name for the podcast?
There wasn't. It was funny. I kind of came up with a name one day about how I'd want a podcast to go and be named. And obviously there's a double entendre there. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of ran with it. And when I started talking with Josh and THP, it just made sense. And, you know, Dan and I really didn't have any kind of connection prior to talking about it. Like I guess really just a couple of days before we started up, right, Dan?
That was the beauty of it. And originally I was like, man, I really want to get to know this dude. Hopefully this is going to be a long time thing. I mean, I just found out that Golf Unfiltered is actually acronymed out to GU, which is great. So obviously you've had some serious success to go to that level, because Golf Unfiltered is so hard to say. But yeah, I really like that.
I don't have it down yet.
Oh my God.
I really liked the idea. Once we were kind of getting into that time where we had to get a podcast going and record something, at that point, Rob and I hadn't really connected that much. And I was like, it's kind of a cool concept to have two guys who are similarly connected in a way, but then have like two potentially totally different experiences getting to this point, growing with our audience. So we're 5 episodes in now, Rob? And
our number 6 gets recorded tomorrow, right?
Gets recorded tomorrow, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of just continuously growing. I think if anyone were to go back and listen to all 5 podcasts we've done so far, you could definitely get a sense that we're getting to know each other better with our audience as well. So that's fun for me to do it that way.
I've definitely noticed a little bit more comfort between the two personalities on the show. And once again, listeners, it's Off Course. You can listen to them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere that you could find podcasts. And, you know, Rob, as someone who's been in the industry for so long, I mean, obviously you've got a lot of background on a lot of different topics, and then you get this joker, Dan, that comes on as a co-host. I mean, I get the sense that you kind of have to just corral him in every so often so he doesn't go too off course.
Well, Dan is definitely, he does a couple things for the show. He really, believe it or not, he adds structure, right?
And that, which I'm a professional, man.
He does. He puts that structure together. Like, we'll come up with the things. We'll kind of slack back and forth during the week of ideas. But that structure, we kind of bang that out ahead of time, which is really nice to go off of a list. Imagine that. Lists, they do something, turns out.
Let's be clear here. I make the list. I add a delightful image with which we can feed off of every week. Last week was iron head covers that were beautiful. They were black with gold trim and money dollar signs on them. I have a plan every week. And if the record were to show it right now, the one man who has been way more off course than this guy is none other than Mr. Rob Miller.
Why is that? Is that just a natural tendency, Rob?
Yeah, it is not by design. It's definitely a natural tendency. If I want to talk about it, I just got these ideas that keep flying in, and if I want to talk about it, I'm going to talk about it.
Nice. Well, that's what makes the show so great too. And obviously, you guys complement each other very well. So keep it up. It's good stuff so far, and I'm looking forward to many more episodes. Obviously, our friends over at the THP forum had a lot of questions that they wanted us to get to as well, and we'll get to a lot of those, folks. But obviously one of the things is this is the first crossover episode that I think I've been a part of for THP. So I think we got to kick things off right. I mean, what's the one thing that you enjoy the most about the forum? And perhaps one thing that if Josh had a complaint box, what would you list in the complaint box for Josh?
I knew this was coming a mile away. Rob, I want you to very cautiously answer these questions. I think his goal is to disrupt the effectiveness that is off course thus far. I think the fact that we typically agree and feed off each other is not sitting well with him. So I want you to make sure, no matter what this guy says tonight, we're on a level, okay? If you need to text me during it, we can just pause for our answers.
I'll try my best. You have, you know, we'll start going into Tom Brady later.
Oh, shit.
You have to. So keep that in the pocket. By the way, he just like launched some vitamins today that are supposed to protect you. Like Tom Brady just launched some sort of like vitamins that are called like, something with protection.
Oh, I did see that.
Right?
Yeah.
But then the disclaimer says that it doesn't protect you from anything, including like COVID-19. So just like, you know, I don't understand it. I haven't dove into it, but I just throw that out there. Maybe that'll be on off course in some way. But I'll try to stay on course. I have noticed, and Dan, I don't know if you've noticed this with the name, is when I type of course in a normal email, I want to add the extra F. Just because, like, my brain is seeing off course all the time.
So I was hoping that'd be like an autocorrect thing. I didn't realize it was like a you thing.
No, that's me.
Okay, that's not me. As bad as getting called Canadian on the forum. I think all well, term your, Canadians on the forum that should be autocorrected to Canadan. I think at this point,
I think Canadan is clever. I like it.
So no love for what you like about the forum right now. We got a little off course with that.
Well, of course we did, because you dropped an S-bomb, and I'm finding out now that GU has a swear jar, which is great news for me, because I'm all in now.
Absolutely. We have no rules on that. I mean, how else would it be unfiltered if we didn't? Or uncensored?
That's true.
Or
that's whatever. Fair.
Can we talk?
Let's let Rob lead that one in. I want to know what his thoughts are, because I've been on the forum for like a decade now. I'm like a relic on there. But Rob, what is unique about THB for you thus far?
I like the fact that people expect, and it might seem kind of strange, but non-golf talk as well. There's a lot of interaction on, I'm going to lead with it, you know, what to put, I didn't even know this, like, should you put egg on a burger? Like, it's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just kill that elephant right now.
Just drive right into it. This whole, like, egg craze that I was not aware that it was like sweeping the nation.
So your answer is THB is a lifestyle brand.
Correct.
By the way, here's this dagger I found. Try and pull it out of your back, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were going back and forth about that on Twitter, and Golf Unfiltered. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
He actually took the thread on THP and mentioned me in it to pull me in there as well. So
there's now, a story behind that, though.
Like the Twitter venom wasn't enough. I need forum venom.
There's a story why Adam has been so excited about the forum lately.
Oh yeah, why's that?
Well, I've been goading you a little bit, buddy. I've been trying to get you into that, you know, 500 a month club. Like, I'm really all in.
For the record, at the time of this recording, I have surpassed 300, I believe. Just for the
for the month or the quarter?
I don't know. It's when I look, when I mouse over my little picture, it says 300 post points, and I think I'm very proud of myself.
If I were to say TI-83, would you know what I'm talking about?
TI-83, the calculator?
Yeah. Do you use one on a regular?
Only to play Drug War.
Snake.
And Snake. So on the hamburger with
Throw it off for snack.
On a hamburger with
no what's going
egg.
On
do we put ketchup that's been refrigerated or no?
He's got the man's got a list.
Yeah, if you're a maniac you do. Let me ask you a question. Do you drink coffee in the morning? You drink tea?
I drink coffee.
All right, do you refrigerate your mug ahead of time?
I do not.
Why not? That's what you're doing.
No, it's not even anywhere near the same thing.
You like to get a nice a burger and then ask for like a cup of ice to
dip the burger in.
Brother, I don't think you're supposed to eat your coffee mug. All right.
Just saying, I'm talking about a temperature and something with osmosis and whatnot.
Oh, now we're throwing osmosis out.
So it's not osmosis, but I'm talking about we're just cooling it off. And for just no reason whatsoever.
So what's the issue with the egg on the burger? Is that is because we're mixing two meals together? Is it too much breakfast, too much lunch?
Well, it's funny. I think that people who there's not only there's kind of like egg factions. Like, do you get the runny egg or you get the well done egg? That's what I've gotten. I've gotten so much back and forth on Twitter from this. It's insane. So there's those that need the Waffle House egg because Waffle House doesn't cook their food. They warm it. And they like it like to just be really super messy for some reason. And some people like it like, you know, it's breakfast on your burger type of thing. So I don't even think in the Northeast they allow you to have like an over easy egg. Because you could die.
So you can't play more than 9 holes. You can't pump your own gas, and you're not allowed to have runny eggs.
No, first of all, not pumping your own gas is a benefit. Oh. Why do you want to go out and pump your gas? Just sit there.
I don't even know what's happening right now.
And fight on Twitter about runny eggs.
Are we sure this just shouldn't be like a 3-hour live stream where people can judge him all the way through?
I'm not sure it shouldn't be that, but I'm also sure that I don't put coffee in a cold mug. But I totally understand. I totally understand.
The analogy makes sense. Now, what was the question again?
The question, really, when we get down to it, is what were your thoughts on driving relief, really? I mean, I think that's
Wait,
how we...
what?
Driving
speaking
relief.
Speaking of runny eggs.
Yeah, speaking of runny eggs, driving relief was the event that just took place over the weekend. You guys touched on this a little bit, I believe. Well, we're going to touch on it now. I mean, did TaylorMade get it right? There was a lot of things that were right about it, a lot of things that I thought could have been better. Dan, what were your thoughts on whether or not TaylorMade got the whole thing right? Was it a rush for them to be first?
Was I supposed to watch it?
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
I played golf a full 18 holes during the match. That's not actually called a match because that's coming up soon. I caught some highlights. It looked interesting, but all the feedback I saw was that they needed a lot more filler or they needed it pre-recorded to cut down on the timing. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about that? Did you guys watch?
I watched. Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. I watched the whole thing. Rob, did you think that, I mean, Dan's saying, I agree with Dan. I mean, the production value of it, obviously we knew was going to be less then because they had a skeleton crew out there. But what were your thoughts watching the whole thing? Did they hit the mark? Did they miss it? Was it worth watching?
Well, I know it took a lot of criticism, but doesn't everything get criticized anyway? You know, whether it's justified or not. I mean, it always kind of happens. But you have to understand that this is kind of unprecedented. I mean, it is. You don't know what they could get in and do the pre-production like they always did. I saw plenty of cameramen with their masks around their chin, like Abe Lincoln. So they didn't get some memos didn't get circulated like a DJ and Whistling Straits. You know, that didn't quite register. But I thought you have to think that, you know, there's nothing to really benchmark it. I thought they did a good job. I was happy to see, and trust me, I'll be the first one to be a curmudgeon, but I think they did a good job. I really don't have a problem with the broadcast or anything. It was kind of tough to see the breaks on putts. You know, like they missed a lot of putts, but some of these guys were off for 40 days.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect? You know, it was cool to see them carry their bags on 18. DJ hit his drive. I don't know if he started walking after it.
Yeah,
see that? And he had to turn around and go get his bag because someone said, "Hey, dude, you're carrying your bag, remember?"
Yeah, that was awesome.
Which is pretty funny. So the shootout at the end was kind of anticlimactic. That wasn't great. And it was only because of the camera angle. We needed a big break ring. Somebody needed to get that ring on the green on 17 in order to see who was there type of thing. That'd be kind of funny. I would have rather him do like rapid fire off a tee or something, you know, but
yeah,
all in all, I have no problems with it. You know, they raised a lot of money for charity and I thought it was good. What about you?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I mean, I thought there were a few things that I would have liked to have seen more about Seminole. I mean, I think that was the big thing that I wanted to really just understand. I mean, you hear all these stories of the member guests that they have, these iconic member guest tournaments that they have. And they didn't really go into that too much. But then again, they didn't really have anyone out there to get that B-roll, you know, for example. So, you know, other than that, though, I think the golf was okay. I was really intrigued to see that Ricky was playing so well, considering the fact that he had just the ball by TaylorMade in his bag. That I was really hoping he was going to win a long drive at one point just to see the world burn a little bit. But you guys know that's just how I am.
Yeah, I don't know. That ball is definitely different, that's for sure.
The picks?
The picks is definitely different. But, you know, if you look at every course in Florida, they didn't have overhead views. But if you did a flyover everywhere, every course in Florida like kind of looks the same. Save maybe Stream Song, right? So Stream Song has a lot of undulation and things like that, but you built at a quarry site. But yeah, it was hard to get an idea about Seminole with that broadcast for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Dan, are we going to expect, or can we expect you to make a swing change to emulate Mr. Matt Wolf? 358 was the long drive I think I saw him do.
I could try it. I don't. If I don't fall over after that swing, I don't know. I really enjoyed the pre-round stuff. Ricky on Twitter joking around how they were in sync because he was like mocking him or jokingly mocking him on the range at a previous event. That was very funny. But I have a kind of rebuttal question to this. This whole structure, because the most common feedback outside of there were a lot of missed putts was DJ looked like he would have preferred to be somewhere else.
Oh yeah.
So did they get the guys right is the bigger question for me here. Was it the right four?
I think DJ has to be there. Rory, of course, takes priority. I mean, he has to be there. I don't know. I mean, I was surprised with Ricky, to be completely honest. I know he's got fanfare. He's a name that even non-golfers know. But, you know, and then Matt Wolf, whatever. I mean, he's an up-and-comer. He's fine. I'm surprised they didn't have, you know, like a John Rahm there or someone else. And I don't even know if – can Rahm even leave his country? I don't even know. Are there still flight restrictions? How does that work?
Is Rahm a household name enough to be in that?
I don't know.
Same argument for Wolf, though.
That's true.
Well, they could have – I don't know where Rose is, right? There's true. Rose and Day, but Day, you know, they got to nurse the back and the head and whatever else is ailing him, right? Wolf. I mean, Wolf is in there. Tiger can't be in there because he's got the match coming up, the match to Electric Boogaloo coming up.
Are you suggesting that if Tiger Woods was involved with all of this, anyone would be upset?
I don't think. I mean, you know, Tiger kind of Tiger's like a golf bomb, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody over that Tiger's involved, right? So.
I mean, it could be Tiger playing four balls, and I think it would get just as much fanfare.
Yeah, I think they had – I don't think – did they Skype with Rahm or something like that? They had something about John Rahm on there.
He was one of the interviews. He was
– Yeah, I don't remember where he was. He was out of the country?
That was just an assumption. I think I did hear that he flew back home. You know, I don't know that for certain, though, because I know all these guys live – you know, they have residence here in the States somewhere. But yeah, I don't know, Dan. I mean, I think that's a good question. It's did they get the right guys? I think I would have liked to have seen better golf, but that's because I'm a golf nerd. As far as, you know, the announcers talking over the players' chatter, why mic them up if you're not going to let them talk? That was the one thing that kind of bugged me the most.
Yeah, the most disappointing thing is nobody really talked. You know, that was it. You need to get, like, you know, Pat Perez joining the Premier Golf League in order to really get stuff going, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff.
I have one last question about this whole setup. And again, I didn't get to watch, but I know having watched replays, they had the pins pulled on every hole. And I feel like a lot of this was kind of to showcase what it's like to socially distance while you're out there. They kind of played that off a bit. Like, this is how you golf, not faking the high fives, doing the air high fives and all that. Would it have hurt them at all to leave the PVC or pool noodles in the cup with pins in?
That was
and
weird.
And said, hey, this is what you guys are doing. This is what we'll do too.
That was the one thing that was weird to me. And I'm glad you brought that up because they had a designated flag puller. And it didn't seem, they did everything else okay. like you said, they did everything else okay. There was one instance where I think Steve Sands got a little too close to DJ, and then the very next interview, they're walking down the course, and he's literally saying, okay, we're social distancing. I think a producer got in his ear. But you're right. I mean, that was my big thing, and I'm glad that it played out the way that it did. You know, pulled noodles, notwithstanding. But if for some reason things went differently with COVID and we had to wear, like, masks when we played golf, my big thing was, are they going to make these guys wear masks? So I'm glad it didn't get to that point. I'm glad, you know, we didn't have to even deal with that, because I felt that there was a significant risk here from the tournament organizers, the brands involved. If for whatever reason we see these guys fist bumping, whatever else, and not adhering to what everyone else has to do. But they were good. I didn't pick up on anything, really. Rob, did you see anything?
No, I didn't really pay attention to it from a social distancing perspective. You know what I mean? Like, that people are up in arms about how the PGA Tour is coming back, and I think they're going to test like 400 out of the 1,100 that are going to be when the tour be on site when the tour starts up, and they're worried that someone might catch it and stuff. And it's like, as a fan, just don't worry about it.
Right.
Don't worry about it, you know, type of thing. So I didn't kind of catch that. And I play golf on the weekends with a guy who runs an ER nearby. So he just tells me, hey, just, you know, keep your distance and wash your hands. You know, that's all you need to really do. And the only reason you have a mask on essentially is to prevent from touching your face if your hand is somehow contaminated. So I don't know. Maybe that helps me out. There's not as many people who have infections out there. I don't think there's that much risk for those guys in that event, especially. Although there were a ton of broadcasters. I mean, how many people do you need to broadcast this? There's one group of four dudes.
Yeah,
it's like there were people to talk to, and they had to bring Bill Murray in, and he's eating. I have no idea what he was talking about. Dan, you might not have seen that, and you're lucky.
Yeah, that was a little awkward, and that's coming from a Chicago guy, obviously. I mean, I hope Bill Murray doesn't slowly creep into, like, Jim Belushi territory, because, you know, for the long time, Belushi was the, for whatever reason, and excuse the siren that's going by my house, but for whatever reason, Belushi became the unofficial son of Chicago. I didn't sign up for that. Nobody consulted me on that element. But now Bill Murray's getting a little awkward as well. But whatever.
Lesser Belushi.
Yeah, Master Belushi. So there were a lot of questions on the forum, boys. And, you know, to kind of transition into a few different topics here, one of the things that keeps coming up, whether it not be, you know, eggs on burgers, ketchup, refrigerated or not, something that a lot of people talk about is just etiquette on the course. And an example of that is from our buddy Big Dill. He would like to know our opinions and whether or not we think it's disrespectful to walk off the green and back to your cart when your playing partners are still finishing the hole. I don't have a problem with it, but I'm kind of a jerk. What do you guys think?
I don't think I understand why. I understand why people do it, right? The person is avoiding and avoiding contact and social distancing. If they're doing it as, you know, I don't care about you, then you could kind of tell. But I don't mind it if they kind of walk away, because I consider this a little bit different time, unless you're playing for money. I mean, then it's a little disrespect move. Sounds like a Tom Brady move.
Oh, see, there it is.
That? Oh, Tom Brady alarm is off. Let's seek a house.
There is a 5-alarm fire going on somewhere, I think, going up and down this street. Dan, if I was playing golf with you and I walked off the green back to my cart and not see you putt out, would we still be friends?
Why would you go to the cart?
Why would I go to the cart?
Yeah, let's put it in a perspective where you actually have to validate your decision to walk away from someone else when they're trying to enjoy the game of golf. Why would you leave the green when someone else wasn't done with that hole?
My enjoyment's done.
Okay, so to answer that question...
So did you pick up after your second shot? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm done. That hole's done. I'm ready to move on.
So if we're talking about just a casual match with the boys, and you got a buddy who just wanders his way up to the cart, maybe jumps on his phone, checks his Twitter. I mean, if he's so uninterested in playing golf with me, he can't even spend the time to watch me putt out, I'd probably find someone else to play with. If he's putting on sunscreen, if he's, you know, doing something that actually makes sense and he doesn't want to slow the group down by doing that at the cart, I have no problems with someone jumping ahead to do that. But you got to have a good reason.
What about if I'm going back to check the scorecard?
What kind of scorecard?
I don't know. Let's say we're playing a 5-point game and I need to go back and update something.
That's a lot of big math. Do you have your TI-83?
I do. I do.
Okay, then I'm sympathetic, but I still think I'd probably look for someone else.
Rob, what were you saying?
Well, I was just saying that if you're playing, you play in foursomes, right? You guys do that?
Sometimes.
Some of the country does, yeah.
So, by the way, in New Jersey, I did play 18 on Sunday. So.
Oh, that's a new change, right?
Raise the roof. that happened, and they're allowing foursomes now. So I don't know what the tee times are. I don't know if they spaced it out instead of 16 minutes. It couldn't even be 15. You know what I mean? Mm. So to make it easy on the starter. So if I was playing in a foursome and one of the guys walked back, I wouldn't care. You know, that wouldn't bother me. But if there's just playing with some other dude and he's just like, screw you, that's kind of crappy.
So follow up to your issue, let's call it an issue, Rob. If you're playing with one other dude, right, and you're in your twosome, okay?
Yeah.
And every hole he putts out, walks away from you, goes to the cart, and doesn't want you to finish, can you post that round? Because you're technically playing by yourself at that point.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, that's a good question. I think we need Slugger White in here. Give us a
Let's bring him in. He's been waiting in the waiting room. No, I'm kidding.
That's our PlayStation username here, by the way.
Slugger White?
Yeah, it's Slugger White.
Nice. All right, well, that's fair enough, Big Dill. Well, I think what we've learned, we learned a little bit about the three of us today, and no one wants to play golf with me. So that's probably what we learned in that question. You know, when I'm looking at this, too, it looks like a lot of people still have food on their minds. A lot of Homer Simpson gifs here. Here's a question for you, boys, and I've had this conversation with Dan before, as well as our good friend JB. Is it GIF or GIF? Dan, what say you?
Is it a peanut butter or an image on a screen?
It's an image on a screen.
GIF.
Rob?
Agree.
All right, that's 3-for-3 there. I think we just...
Yeah. The peanut butter is not... You can't just start making up pronunciations. If you wanted to... called GIF. What I mean, it's not Skypey, you know?
We're on Skypey now because I couldn't figure out Discord.
Yeah, we are on Skypey, but you know what I'm saying? So for
I
now
I believe it's pronounced Dicecord.
Dicecord. Fair enough. Dice.
Right. So one thing we didn't talk about is, did you notice the guys in the match? I'm going off course. You noticed they were wearing shorts. What did you think about that?
I loved it. I loved it because I think they should be wearing shorts anyway.
Dan's shaking his head.
Dude, no.
Why?
No? Here's the worst part about this. No matter what I say, the response is, well, they used to play in suits, Dan, so get over yourself. Here's the deal, all right? There's something professional about wearing pants. And it's not just on the golf course.
Just
golf
in life.
Unfiltered, aka GU. You go to an office with shorts and a golf shirt on. Are you dressed appropriately for an office? No, hell no, you're not. Right? You go to Best Buy. Do those boys run around in shorts? No, man, they're wearing khakis.
Hold on. We're using Best Buy as the baseline for professionalism
I'm
here?
I'm talking about a location with which you're required to look professional. These guys are professional golfers. The material that's being used nowadays... you can barely even call them pants anymore, right? It's super breathable. I don't know why you got the little field goal thing in your hands here.
What would you call them if not pants? If they cover the legs, they're pants.
My point was so breathable that there used to be an argument. So back when you could see exactly where they weren't working out, you know what I mean? Like the sweat was showing up, the pure disappointment right around the belt line. You could tell they were suffering out there, right? nowadays it's all tech material, super high-end stuff, and honestly, if they don't like what they're wearing, get a new sponsor, man. It's fine. So, look professional, be professional, right, get I'm over yourself.
So think about this. If you're wearing shorts, you have less material to drop that stupid egg and your cold ketchup that you're eating that burger. When it drips off all on you, you got less chance of that ruining your pants.
Does Skype
shorts, so
strong point?
Do you have like a mute button or like a timeout feature?
I do not have that on this. I gotta pay extra for that.
Ugh. I'll just turn around in the corner.
Tell me, what is it about pants that upsets you guys? Why is shorts such a sensible thing for the tour?
First thing, I think I just found the audio clip for today's episode. Second thing, what about pants upsets you so much? I don't know. I just think that if they can allow caddies to wear shorts, which they do, and they're the ones working the hardest as far as carrying weight, why not let the players do it? Does anybody really care that much? Honestly, besides Dan and Augusta National, is anyone really going to care that much if we see Phil Mickelson's calves?
Yes. I have a counter question.
Okay.
If they do allow shorts, and please, for the love of my sanity, don't. Do you think this is going to be one of those LPGA moments where the tour actually has to proclaim exactly how far up or how far down these shorts cover? Like, no offense, boys, and I respect every decision you make as a person. That's cool with me. But I don't want to see man thigh every Sunday, all right? I'm just not into it.
Get out the rulers. We can't have hems above the knee.
Yeah, I think you're going to get, like, wacky socks, and someone's going to wear, like, Simpson socks or something like that at some point. Or there might be socks with 17 on them. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, boy.
Okay. But if you – so I do this thing on Twitter, right, Name the Pro, every day, which started as just, like, a stupid joke back in as soon as lockdown hit. I think it was, you know, March 15th or somewhere around there. And I just say, Name the Pro, Wrong Answers Only. And I take some old photo. So you can, if you check out Rob Miller Time on Twitter, you'll see him. There's one every day. I'll find an old photo on Getty Images and I'll post it. And then someone goes and everyone comments. Gets a lot of comments. It's pretty cool. But there's one guy that I found, Brian Barnes is his name. I think he's from South Africa or Scottish or something. There's a mix there, like he moved there. There are tons of photos of him in the 70s wearing shorts. And I don't know how, and I don't know what the rules were on the Euro Tour and so forth. There's also him, he would smoke a pipe during the round. Awesome. And never take it out of his mouth. Awesome. So if you want to see how that would look with, you know, the problem with shorts is the less athletic pros, right?
Yeah.
That aren't the gym rats and stuff. It's not as good a look as having, you know, the pants on. But I do agree. I mean, pants are more formal. Of course. I totally agree with that. So do I mind them wearing shorts? It's still weird. It's odd to see the pros in shorts. I'm totally fine. I've never thought, like, boy, I wish Ricky Fowler's wearing shorts right now. I gotta be honest.
The 4-inch inseams and all that. Do you really want to see that? Do you? Let's take a step back and think about the generations, right? Like, I'm barely hanging in here. The generational differences, okay? In 10 years, us as golf fans watching the sport we love, you can control a lot about what a pant does. In shorts, those dudes could be in tights for all we know within 10 years. Is that okay with you?
Your pant control has become a topic. I don't understand. Like, what do you, Rob, do you control your pants?
The most upsetting thing you could see in pants is what? Ultra pleat with a mega bag, right? Or
you've put some thought into this.
Or joggers. Neither of which impact my visual disgust, okay?
I own joggers.
Whoever it is that with the joggers, that really... Oh, that doesn't do it for me. That's a problem.
All right, we're gonna have to end this episode, I think. I own a pair of joggers, two pair actually, and I will wear them next time I hang out with you fellas, just because.
You're jogging them? Just cute.
I will not jog. I will sit down at the Rosen Pit and Hopefully not jog.
Define jog.
A brisk walk. This is Rob Miller and Canada Dan, ladies and gentlemen. This is what happens when we go off course.
Whatever. Well, maybe we should try again.
No.
Just define jog.
Define jog.
Might be yogging. Might be a soft.
Pronounce yog. Yeah, there we go.
This weekend, we have another match we got to watch. It's the match 2. Phil, Tiger.
You sound so excited.
I know. Here's the thing about the whole thing. The first match was, I thought, a debacle. I mean, I didn't like it. It was cool at the time, but now in retrospect, I'm like, I could have did something different. I could have went out in my joggers and played golf and missed it like Dan probably would. But now we've got. You're not going to watch it? You're not going to watch it.
When is it? I don't have cable, dude. When is it?
This Sunday.
At what time?
I don't know. 1 o'clock or ish? I don't know.
I have 4:24 tee time.
4:24? What are you leading? Why so late?
What am I leading? These arguments, maybe.
Hey-o. 4:20.
Is it just in time to get finished and put an egg in my burger and then in my belly? You know what I mean?
So you're not going to watch Tiger Slam either?
Well, I mean...
Oh, yeah. You know that's on, right? You can record it. Most of us have recording devices.
I can't record it if I don't have cable, bro.
What problem.
Do you do? You don't have any... You don't watch any TV?
Netflix.
Okay.
Hulu.
I don't have
YouTube
cable.
YouTube is a remarkably efficient way of wasting my time. I'll tell you that right now.
Do you have YouTube TV? Because I highly recommend it if you don't.
I don't. I've watched a ton of old major final rounds. That's been an absolute delight. In fact, Rob and I have had some discussions on the Off Course podcast based on some of these watchings, these late 3 a.m. watchings.
That's what we call them. We call them watchings.
Yeah.
Watchings.
Watching.
3 a.m.
The visuals. Yeah, man. You see me on the THP forum, moderating, making sure everyone's behaving.
That's absurd. I'm in bed by 9:30. What's your bedtime?
What is a bedtime, friend? You know what I mean?
Rob.
It's like...
I don't know what I'm doing anymore with this. I asked these two gentlemen to come on, and I'm learning all these things about Dan.
If you spend your time in a room with no windows, like, all the time, then I suppose you don't know when the sun is up, down, and when you hear the rooster, that means the eggs are ready.
I have a challenge for you guys. I have two things I want to say because I know you want to wrap up. Okay. Number one, I started
He's trying to push his way off the podcast.
Just hijack it all.
I started a challenge on THP. You got to hear about it. 100 putts a day, every day, for as long as you can do it. Do I have both of your absolute honest yeses that you will try for as long as you can?
Yeah.
100 putts a day.
I just got a new birdie mat. I'm looking at it right now. I will do that.
A birdie mat?
Yeah, it's...
Like a putting green?
A little putting green, yeah. It's called Birdie Mat, I think, or Birdie Town. I don't know.
Has to be at least 5 to 10 feet.
Yeah, I can do that. I could do that. 100 putts. Do you have to make them?
No, hell no. I mean, eventually. Maybe in 6 months.
I would never do that.
Okay, so two of us are going to get better at golf.
That sounds so incredibly boring.
And one of us can only play 9 holes with one friend.
I would never do that.
I've got. By the way, Mister, I've got 3 tee times. I've got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday afternoon, Saturday morning. Play in the morning. I'm not used to leading tournaments, so I just kind of keep it at that level.
You can dress this up as much as you want to, but I still have one more comment I need to make.
All right. I try. Rob, I try that.
Have you ever put an egg on a burger?
No.
So what the hell do you think you're missing? How can you be so deeply invested in no without ever having tried it? And be careful. There are millions of people listening.
Oh, yeah.
There are.
Millions.
There's plenty of things I haven't put on burgers. I don't know if you have a list, but we can go through them if you want.
Let's
go.
Off course. Try again.
You know? No, why would I? This is like...
Off course, try again.
Oh, jeez.
This is the 10 cup 7 iron argument. I parred the back 9 with a 7 iron. Well, Roy, it never occurred to me to even try. That same thing with the egg on the burger.
This might be the weakest argument I've ever heard.
So, new challenge.
Do you put lettuce in your omelets?
Do I what?
You put lettuce in your omelets?
Why would I do that? That makes no sense.
That's what Rob's saying.
Has no one ever put... someone puts lettuce in an omelet? Not specifically lettuce, but I bet you can see...
Rabbits.
What?
Maybe rabbits or something.
Rabbits eat eggs?
I think they do.
What? You never put spinach in an omelet?
Yeah, but that's not a... You don't put spinach on your burger.
Kind of lettuce, isn't it? You don't put spinach on your burger?
Rabbits eat eggs?
What do you put on your burger?
You can't just make up...
What do you put on your burger? Warm ketchup?
Yes. Apparently he does.
Temperate.
Like temperate ketchup.
Temperate ketchup. 98.
And the tears of disappointment because there's no additional flavors impacted. Dude, we are not having this conversation again.
You brought it up!
I'm not talking to you, Adam. I like you. Roberto, until you have bacon and an egg on a burger, I don't want to hear it from you.
I'm 50% there. And that's where it's going to stay. This
and the other 50% is our Twitter feed, which has been going nuts all week.
It has. It has been going nuts all week with that. I just think that, listen, if it was so popular, wouldn't the big chains have that as an option?
That's a
I'm not talking
point.
Your Red Robin, which is just, oh, just awful.
Best,
I'm best telling you right now.
Best chicken tenders ever. Red Robin. Best chicken tenders.
They're not tenders, they're clucks.
They're the chicken clucks.
Yeah. Here, Adam, I have a question for you. Yes. So this chicken tender thing that you ordered at a burger joint, is the burger joint? Red Robin?
It was Red Robin. I was feeling less than well, and just made some room for myself. Came and sat back down at the booth. Ordered some clucks.
Maybe the waiter had too much flair. Who knows? Maybe it threw you off. You don't want so much flair in your face when you're at like a Red Robin.
That was definitely it.
I don't fault you for tenders at a Red Robin because.
Thank you.
Red Robin is not like. I mean, that's not, you're not going to some, it's not like you decide to have tenders at like In-N-Out, which they don't offer, but you know, whatever.
No.
That's Red Robin. Yeah, do you know every, point. I mean, you're sitting, you probably, did you get like a placemat and some crayons?
I would have at that point, anything to make me feel happier at that point.
I mean, there are a lot of tenders going out to the kids there. I do understand that.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, that's Mr. Dan Edwards and Rob Miller. That's the perfect way to wrap up this podcast, I think. They are the co-hosts of THP's newest podcast, one of the two newest podcasts, actually, the other being Range Days, which Canada Dan does with J-Man, James. But they're the hosts of Off Course. Be sure to listen to that all over Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere that you can find podcasts, and you can listen to it over at the hackersparadise.com forum as well, which is really a good feature. Scroll the forums, listen to some idiots like us talk. What better way to pass the day? Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming on. We'll do this again very soon.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And your coffee tomorrow morning, make sure you get that mug out of the fridge first.
Good.